This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hi, Jurgen. Hope you're well. Pardon me. Losing my voice slightly. I just wanted to check on Harvey Elliott, first of all, Jurgen. Have you spoken to him? And what kind of spirits is he in? How's he doing?
Yes, of course, I spoke to him tonight after the game already, and he wasn't good in the best possible place for that moment. He took it already. He accepted already. He knew he will be out for a while. Today he is in London and will, as far as I know, probably have the surgery today. So, and that's then obviously the next step on the way back. And so we all wait for news from that after the surgery, and that's it.
Obviously, meeting AC Milan in the group stage, I mean, for us, it brings back memories of two finals, 2005 and 2007. But what sense of a real European occasion do you get? And not just that, but one that you can again share with the fans as well.
Yeah, of course, 2005 is, I have more in my mind than 2007. Anyway, if you would think about any kind of European battles, then I think Liverpool, Milan, AC Milan is a must watch. It's one you want to see. Milan had now, it's now not in the Champions League for a few years, but are doing really well since 1.5 roundabout years. They played a brilliant last season, ended up second, started this season really good as well, so will be for sure a very tough game for both sides. I can imagine from there are a few nice games, obviously in this first match in the Champions League, and Liverpool AC Milan is for sure one of them.
Thank you, Vinny. Okay, we're going to go to James from TalkSport, and I think Carl from the BBC, and that's Paul Joyce from the Times, and then we've got a couple from overseas as well. James from TalkSport.
Jurgen, just how exciting is this group that you're in with AC Milan, Porto and Atletico Madrid, and how difficult is it going to be to progress from it?
Difficult. Thank God for all four teams. There's no team. I don't think when we all saw the draw, it was like that one of us said, oh my God, what a great group. let's go for it. It's just a tough group. Come on, we don't have to lie. And we knew that. And Atletico, Porto, usually champion in Portugal, if not, then second. So a top team. AC Milan, big history, in the best moment for years. That's proper Champions League. So we worked obviously really hard for being part of that, and that's what we get. We are part of Champions League. There's no game where people think, think about the result or whatever. It's all about getting enough points to get through that group, and we better don't waste time. So we should start with that tomorrow night. It's a long time ago that we had the Champions League game at home. We had now the opportunity to experience again the atmosphere Anfield is able to produce in the Premier League. But we spoke a lot in the past, rightly so, about European nights at Anfield, and I can't wait to experience that. It will be great, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Thanks, James. Carl Woodward.
Hi, Jurgen.
Hi.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he's 40 in October. What does that say about him as a player, that he's still performing and scoring goals at such a high level?
Oh, Zlatan, what a player. What a player. I think I saw a few videos of him when he got injured a few months ago, or whenever it was. And then I saw him pretty much, I'm not sure if he got a surgery or not, but early enough, I saw him on a spinning bike and saw him fighting back, and Lions don't rest long or whatever. And he is always right. And so he's right. He came on now in the last game after quite a long time, and scored immediately. He's a man for exceptional moments in a game. We have to make it. If he's not playing, then probably Olivier Giroud is playing, or Rebic is playing, or whatever. That all slightly different profile, but all really good. So it will be absolutely interesting, but Zlatan is of one for sure one of the best players ever in this game. He knows that, and he says that everybody. That's, I like that about him, that's the confidence he brings in all the games, that he's still physically that fit. It's absolutely incredible, and just shows maybe some careers ended too early because there was still a little bit of fuel in the tank, and he squeezes obviously every drop out of his body and wants to stay in the game as long as possible, and rightly so. He is absolutely capable to play in each league in the world still, and that's absolutely exceptional.
Thanks, Carl. In order now, we go Paul Joyce, then we go Per from Norway, and Andreas, and they're the hands we've got. Paul first.
Hello, Jürgen. I was just wondering if you'd watched Emma Raducanu on Saturday night, what you thought, if you hadn't, and is there anything as a coach you can relate from her story into what you're trying to do as a team?
I watched the game, the final, and it was absolutely impressive. It's long ago that I watched a full tennis game. It's long ago that I watched a full women's tennis game, and I was really impressed by the power, the speed, and the whole game. I think women's tennis is obviously in a brilliant moment. In the moment, these two girls were 18 and 19, and the display, what they showed was massively impressive. During the game, then we watched the interviews as well, or the what is it, when they got the trophy ceremony, and both girls, how they spoke with 18 and 19, that was inspiring, to be honest, maybe even more so than the tennis, and that was already inspiring enough. But I was absolutely overwhelmed by the way the two girls presented themselves. Was still. Fernandes was obviously disappointed losing the game, rightly so. It was really close after the game. Emma showed great respect for her. They knew and hope that they will face each other in the future very often and be in many more finals. I wish for them as well. So it was just a great show of sportsmanship, of elite sport. How humble can you be when you are that young, already on the top of the world, even if it's only for a few hours, but they were obviously both, and it was really nice. That's what you can take. About the tennis story, I don't know enough, but when you are 18 years old and are able to win the US Open, it's clear there's one thing that happened in the last 10, 15 years, and it's hardest work, because otherwise it wouldn't work. You know, she's for sure a talent of a century, but without hardest work, it's not possible to be there. And doing that, or that she did that, and now she's there in that moment, and you see her smiling during a game, it's just the nicest thing I can imagine. I was really, I will watch women's tennis for sure much more now again than I did in the last few years.
Thank you, Paul. We go to Per and then Andreas.
Hi again, thank you for your time. I just wanted to ask you a question on that historical game against Milan in 2005. What do you remember about that night in Istanbul, and what impressed you the most at that time?
Oh, I don't, the obvious things, obviously. I that night I was thinking about not watching the second, to be honest. Because everybody in the world, apart from the few people in the Liverpool dressing room, thought that this game might be decided. And the fight back was impressive. But what I remember is some incredible saves of Dudek. He had to keep them in the game. They could have scored three goals, but Milan could have scored more goals as well. So that would have probably closed the game. That's what I remember from the football game. But obviously it was that time, neither an AC Milan supporter nor a Liverpool supporter. So it was just watching the Champions League final. And after 3-0, and with all the things that were said before the game, Milan probably the favorite and stuff like this, looked like the game is decided, and it became then one of the biggest football sensations ever. And I was really happy that I didn't switch the telly off and watch the whole game.
Thank you, Bert. We go to Andreas, then to Dominic King.
Hello, Jürgen. Andreas from Swedish television.
Hi.
You talked about Ibrahimovic, but what things in his game is it that you are impressed with?
Oh, intelligence. So, okay, that he has incredible technical abilities, it's clear. So he can obviously control the ball with his feet when it's at 8 foot height or whatever. So he did that from time to time. He can score incredible volleys, but it's he's good in heading. His athleticism was always outstanding, and he uses in all age groups he went through. Now he always used the things which were left in his body in the perfect way. Let me say like this: I don't think he has the same speed as he had when he was a 18-year-old boy or whatever. But it's not important, because when you understand the game, you can play the game, obviously in different circumstances, and that's what he's doing. But the things I always. The spectacular goals he scored, if it was a bicycle kick from halfway line nearly or whatever. The thing what impressed me most with him is the overview he has in a game. So he really pre-thinks the things will happen. Brings him in the right position. That's why he can pass the balls. That's why he can use all situations in the game, and the goal is slightly too far in front of his goal or whatever, these kind of things. The overview he always showed that impressed me most.
Okay, thanks guys. I've probably got everyone I can take now, to be honest with you. So we'll go Dom for one, Paul Gorsh for one, and Andy Hunter for one to finish.
Yeah, and this is the first time that AC Milan have played at Anfield. The sense of history that they bring to this competition. Growing up, you've spoken before about Arrigo Sacchi and his team. They set the standard in the Champions League for a spell. What sort of influence did he have on you? And are you still in contact with him?
I wouldn't say I'm still in contact with Arrigo Sacchi. We are in contact from time to time. Mr. Sacchi has my number, and he used that from time to time. And I obviously reply, but I don't want to bother him with any kind of actual questions, and I would never do that. But he's not only one of the best managers ever in this game. He's a very nice person on top of that, and he was one of the most influential managers, at least for me and for the way I like football, because he organized the pitch in a different way. With the formation he chose, and the most influential manager I had, Wolfgang Frank, was pretty much obsessed with this kind of football, and that was the way I got to know about it, and I tried to figure out everything what I could get about it when I was a younger coach, and that helped me a lot. So the way they played in the time when they were on their peak with Arrigo, with the Dutch guys, with Baresi, with Maldini, with all these guys, that was absolutely impressive. They controlled games. It looked so easy, but it wasn't, but just because they organized the pitch much smarter than all the others. So very impressive person.
Thanks, Tom. Just before we go to the last two questions, remind that Alison Becker is our player, and he'll be here quite prompt after match is finished. So hands up for those of you who want to speak to Ali, and we'll promote you to the panelists. Let's hear that. Paul Gorsh, followed by Andy Hunter.
Hi, Egan. Just wanted to ask about Mo Salah. I mean, you mentioned Ibrahimovic there and his age and his ability to keep playing at that age and his conditioning and so on. I mean, looking across the Champions League this week, we're going to see Lewandowski, Messi, Ronaldo, all players who are, you know, mid to late 30s. Do you see Mo with that similar kind of mindset to play well into his 30s with the way he looks after himself and his ability just to kind of, you know, just that mindset that he has?
Possibly. Never spoke to him about that, how long he wants to play, but he has all the things you need to do that. It's more obviously physically more the type of Lionel Messi. Similar height, similar weight, probably. So all these guys needed to be lucky with injuries, that they always could come. They were not without injuries, but they always could come back without any further harm. And that's very important. And we need to be like that lucky. But Mo has all the things. I'm pretty sure the way he sees football, he wants to be part of the game. as long as he can somehow. And there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to do that. It's about attitude. Obviously, you want it, because I'm pretty sure a couple of players finished their career because they just couldn't be that motivated anymore. They thought, okay, it's fine, I want this, I want that, but I'm not the same as I was a few years ago, and that's why people finish their careers. I can see that with Mo. I'm pretty sure Mo wants to squeeze each day out of his career as well, yeah.
Fantastic. Last question to Jürgen, and Ali Becker's coming in. As you're in the panel, we'll be able to ask questions to Ali when Joe comes in with him. Andy's finished this part of the press conference.
Hi, Jürgen. Hi, I don't mean this to sound like disrespectful to other teams you might have played in the Champions League group stages before, or suggest you've had easier games, but what does this group, such a historic group and well-matched group, do for the competition itself? And how does it change perhaps the first half of your season, given there's no leeway, there's no let up in it?
Yeah. So look, it's always like this. There are moments. This is the strongest group we had, obviously, since I'm at Liverpool, no doubt about that. I think 2013, when I was at Dortmund, we had the Champions League group as well. I think it was City, Real Madrid. And I don't want to be disrespectful, it was the third team. Forgot it. It's too long ago, but that was a proper group as well. And everybody said before, my God, how you want to get through that and stuff like this. It's all about, you have to play the games anyway. What does that for the competition, this group? It keeps out two really good football teams from the knockout stages. That is already clear. It will deliver one really, really strong football team into the European League. That's for sure as well. So that's what it delivers for the competition. Apart from that, I know when people, I never understand that when people talk about changes in the Champions League, and it's just not my thing. I like the Champions League how it is. I always said that. And this group obviously shows that there are no games where people think, do we really want to watch that? What could be decided here? This group will be exciting from the first second to the last second. I can't see any kind of early decisions made in this group, and that keeps us obviously on our toes in between these games. We have a very important competition as well, playing Premier League and League Cup, and hopefully then FA Cup later on in the season, all these kind of things. But it's the thing we wanted. It's exactly what we wanted, and now we are here, and now we play Milan here, we play, I think, then Atletico, then Porto, and then unbelievable stadiums as well, great crowd, all that kind of stuff, passionate fan base, all these kind of things. It's exactly like you want, how you want football, and that's what we got, and now we have to deal with it.
Ajax,
all champions, and us. That's it.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Ali. Hope you're well. I just wanted to ask, first of all, Ali, about Harvey Elliott, and apologies for my voice. What support have you guys all been able to give him, and what impact does an injury like that have on you as a group?
Hi to everyone. This is what happens with Harvey, something that really makes me sad, and all the players. It's difficult to deal with that when you are on the pitch. And I believe all the players have a big role to support him. We need to do our best to support him at this time. The medical staff obviously have to work hard to give him the best conditions to recovery. But Harvey knows that we are here for him whenever he needs. And we are a really, really unit team. So when we celebrate together, we celebrate together. When you a player, important player for us, gets injured, we are kind of injured together with him.
Overall as well, how do you assess the start to the season? And with four teams tied on 10 points in the Premier League, how many do you feel can go the distance in this title race?
Yeah, so far, so good. I think we are having really good performances, bringing back the consistency that we were used to do on the pitch, we were used to have on the pitch. This is something really important for a team who wants to fight for the title. And I really believe this season will be one of the hardest of all the other seasons that I play so far. But yeah, we need to be focused in ourselves. We need to try to don't look to the others too much, because if you look to the others, you lost the focus in yourself. You lost the focus in what you need to do on in the challenges. And I believe in my team, my teammates, and our quality. Really believe we can fight for the title again.
So how well equipped is this Liverpool squad to challenge for both Premier League title and the Champions League as well, particularly when you look at how difficult this group is?
Yeah, as I said before, I really believe in my team, in my teammates, in our qualities. Obviously, we don't have the biggest list of players, but we have the players we need to do that, to do a proper fight, to give a proper try for the title. And we need just to think game by game, match by match. Folks, focus always in the next challenge. As I said before, focus in ourselves, in what we need to do. Everybody needs to be ready for the time. Even the players who are not playing so much so far, they need to be in a good shape, because we will need everybody in the long term perspective.
Okay, thank you, Vinny. James,
can we go from
TalkSport next?
Alisson, having won the Champions League in 2019, how much would you love to do it all over again?
Really hard, eh? Me, myself, and my teammates, we will try again really hard and start against AC Milan. It's a really, really hard opponent. But we have our goals, and our goal, our target first is going through the next phase of the tournament. But obviously the biggest goal in the Champions League is winning.
Okay, Carl from BBC, and then we'll go Carl from PA after that.
Hi, Alisson.
Hi, Carl.
Have you thought back to your goal against West Brom and how important that was to qualify for this Champions League? Mm-hmm.
That was good, eh? It was a good feeling. I think everybody have a good feeling, even who is not a Liverpool supporter. I think I made a lot of people happy. But yeah, it was really important for the team as well. And this, I told after I scored the goal, I told that will be even more important if we qualify for Champions League, and we are here now, and I'm really happy about that. But I'm really sure that what helps more wasn't just that goal, was what the team puts every game to try to achieve the victory, to try to achieve the 3 points. And not only the goal brought us here, but what we did during the season, that and in a season that was really difficult for us, everything.
Okay, we'll go to Carl Markham, and then if there's any other hands up, take them. So Carl, can we go next?
Hi, Alisson.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. Talking of good feelings there with your goal, I'm just wondering what it's like having a full-strength defence back in front of you with Virgil and Joel back, and three clean sheets in four games. You must be happy with that.
Yeah, it's really good to have them back on the team, not only for me, but for everybody. Virgil, Joel, Joey, they are those kind of players who gives you the feeling of safety, and they can help us to bring the consistency. That is a main part of our way to play. To win titles, you need a consistency team who plays in a consistent way and who defends in a consistent way. If you can have the clean sheet, you are in a halfway for a victory. So counting on them is really important for everybody. And Joel shows in the last match as well that he can contribute as well in playmaker.
Okay, We'll take two more. So Chris McKenna, can we go next, please?
Hi, Ellie. I just wonder if what your memories of the 2005 and 2007 finals are. Obviously, AC Milan had a big Brazilian influence back then. I imagine Dida was one of your idols. So what were your memories of that? And were you supporting Milan and upset when Liverpool pulled it back?
Yeah, definitely. Dida is a really an influence for me, and not only for me, but for all the Brazilians goalkeeper. The success he have in Europe, in Italy, is really a role model for all goalkeepers, not only for Brazilians. But that game was an unbelievable game as well. Kaká playing. I have the luck to meet them personally, to play together with them, to learn from them personally. So that game was something amazing to see. It's something amazing to see even now, to just bringing back the memories. I think there is unbelievable memories for all the LFC supporters. So it's those players are an inspiration for me and for all my teammates.
Okay, and we'll take the final question from Andy Hunter, please.
Hi, Alison. I was just going to ask how difficult you found it last week preparing for the Leeds game, not knowing until Friday night whether you'd be eligible to play or not, with the whole dispute with the Brazilian FA, and where you did you have to get involved in that in any way? Thanks.
Hi. In the way things are going in the world in the last 2 years, I think we are prepared for all the situations. I think we learn a lot from these difficult times we are living. And this week wasn't different. I wasn't sure if I will play or not, but I just need to be sure that I will be ready for the game. My preparation was the same as the other games, as the other matches. And I'm really happy that all the sides, all the parts worked together, the national teams, the clubs, the Premier League, FIFA, they work together to bring a solution for this situation. And also, I really trust on them, on the club, in the club, in the Premier League, FIFA, and the national teams, and in the government to find a solution for the next international break. That is something that we need to start to speak about now.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.